Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi says, نقتدي بمن قبلنا ويقتدي بنا من بعدنا. We follow the way of those that have come before us, and the ones that will come after us will follow us. So there's two lessons here. One is, what do we do for our progress? What do we do? So the simple solution is, we look at the ways of those that came before us, and then those that came before us, there will be two classes. One is that class that have passed away. They have done their work and they have passed away, and they don't have a blemish against their names. Generally, overall, people accept them to be guides, to be righteous people, to have a consistent path. The whole life they had led, the life and the pattern was consistent. So this is the one class of people that you will find that have come before. And the second class of people will be those that are still within our midst. So the safer path is those that have gone with a consistent path, that had no blemish against their name, that people generally accept, approve of their ways, and we follow their ways. نَقْتَدِي بِمَنْ قَبْلَنَا. And the second duty is, وَيَقْتَدِي بِنَا مُنْ بَعْدَنَا. Then for our continuity, the restoration of our faith, our belief, our practice, then what do? Then we become an example, a precedent for those that come after us. Okay? People will see us, and everything of ours becomes an example, becomes a precedent. A small child, he was reading namaz with his mother. So, small, 3-4 years of age, so as he stood up to perform namaz, he did this. So the mother asked, but why do you do this? You know, Abba does this. So the obviously, father was trying to raise his pants above the ankles to see that it's right. Child doesn't know, but Abba did this, I must do it. Okay. Now, this is a young and impressionable mind, and they will behave like this. We can't expect them to do anything to the contrary. But by the same token, how important it is that we become a true precedent for them, a true example for them. To have that type of attitude, that do what I tell you to do and don't do what I do. That's not showing sense of responsibility. You're a Muslim, we are in Islam, then I must be an example. That's my obligation, my loyalty to my deen, that whatever I do is an example. Those that see me, they may not take the wrong lesson from me. My behavior, my conduct, my character, my ways. This is being observed not only by Muslims, even by non-Muslims. Once, some times ago, I heard the Zuhr Azan, and whilst the Zuhr Azan was going, I was proceeding to the masjid. So a black man, knew, not a Muslim, got nothing to do with Islam. So he saw me, he says, yes, the last person to go and the first person to come out. So he doesn't know the tartib of namaz, but the message that he conveyed is telling me, yes, you are the last person to go. In other words, to go to the masjid, you are the last person. And then you will be the first person to come out. So wasn't that a lesson? Really, I got shocked at that moment. It is Allah Ta'ala that is making him talk. It is Allah Ta'ala that is making him talk. Even non-Muslims, let alone Muslims, even non-Muslims, they see what we are doing. They are watching, they are observing. Our ways, our conduct, our behavior, everything is being marked. Everything is being marked. A simple thing like business is being marked. Right, how did Umar radiallahu anhu conduct business in this way? In this respect, how did he conduct himself? If it was a discussion, then how did he conduct himself?
How did they do it?
Subayr is a person from Sham, Syria, right? And he started off some controversy, some delicate and complicated issues of the Quran and Hadith, right? I explained earlier on that people understand situations according to the level of understanding, right? The level of reasoning, they will understand it. You've got a basic level of understanding and reasoning. You walk into a hospital, then you will reason things according to your level, right? And it is more prudent and safe for you to talk about things that are within your capacity and within your level. Walk into a hospital, see someone sick or something, you go to the doctor, he will advise you what you must do. That's the right thing for you. You're talking within your capacity. Don't just sit down here. Go to some doctor or go to the information and tell them, relate to them the type of problem you've got. They will tell you which department you must go. Right? That was the right thing for him to do. Now, in the same token, if a specialist, if a heart surgeon or a heart specialist comes into the hospital and he sees patients and he can see from the symptoms more or less that this person is a candidate for a heart operation, then he will tell him, you walk to the theater, you move in that direction. We need to inspect you, we need to see you thoroughly, correctly, and we need to see whether you are in for an operation or not. So now that person is talking according to his level. Right? This person is talking according to his level. If this person here, if he pretends to be a specialist, and he's asking him to go to that theater, and you are a sugar patient, and you are like this, and you, and say, bye, you get out of this hospital. If you know what's better for you, get out of here. You don't pretend to be what you aren't. So, this person here, Subayr, he started off a controversy in Sham, in Syria. And Umar radiallahu anhu is the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Now, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he is not only required to give an intellectual answer to every situation. He needs to do two things. One is an intellectual answer, and one is to understand capacity. Right? He needs to see capacity. He needs to see the level of understanding. And with that, he needs to see what is best in the broader interest of the people here, of the whole public now. What must I do? He's talking of issues, delicate issues, sensitive issues. But Umar radiallahu anhu instructs that this person, Subayr, must be brought to him once. At once he's brought over to Medina Munawwara. And Umar radiallahu anhu instructs the person that brought him that you take care of him. If this person runs away, you will be responsible. You see, the one is to get a situation right, and one is administration and control. Two different things. We're living in a community where there is no Islamic control, Islamic authority. There isn't. In fact, there's no religious authority here. Anywhere in the world, presently, you won't find complete and entire, absolute religious authority that is prevalent in any community. Maybe you'll find to a certain extent some place you'll find. Not complete. You'll find some, but to a certain extent. Even in Saudi Arabia you'll find the person is clean shaven, right? But he can be a top officer, he can be a government officer, he can be the king, clean shaven. So to see total deen anywhere today, and to see that people are regulating affairs according to Islam, and they are controlling affairs according to Islamic ethos and requirements, then I don't think this exists anywhere in the world, completely. Maybe some things here and there, certain things they are doing, certain important things they are doing, you'll find that. But to see it complete, you won't find it. Now this is important, to be able to regulate affairs and regulate them correctly. And every person doesn't understand. He doesn't understand admin. He may be able to do the work, but then ask him admin, he won't be able to do it. You see in a building, right? There'll be one foreman to mix the daga and to lay the bricks. Everybody can do it, a lot of people. But that person that is the foreman is just one foreman. That whole figure will be in his head. From the day, the start of the day, right till the end of. At home also he's planning it out, that what materials I need to get. Where are we going wrong? And to see everything is right, according to plan. Otherwise, I will get a reprimanding from my superiors. I need to see that everything is going according to plan. They put up that steel structure now, is it right? I need to call the engineer, I need to phone this person here, that the steel structure is put on already, come and inspect it. This pillar is up now, see it's right. It's absolutely vertical. There is no, there's nothing skew here. So his responsibility is different, you see. So similar in an Islamic structure now, you have got two things to play with, two important functions. One is the function of seeing that the deen, seeing the deen, and then to see that the structures are right. How are you implementing that deen? Right? How are you enforcing that deen is a different thing. He's practicing, like I say, you get a dagger boy, and you get a foreman. The dagger boy can't do the foreman's job, and the foreman is not expected to do the dagger boy's job. Both have got their roles. And it is important that we remain within our role, our capacity, how much I can manage to do that. Now, if everybody tries to pretend to be what he is not, there is total chaos. Right? You qualify for something, you do that work. Where they talk about gender equality, all this is a farce. It's just to bluff you, nothing else. It is just to bluff you. Look, within the law also, gender equality is a farce. If there is a divorce, right? There is a separation. You go to any Western court, they will award the custody of the child to the mother. So where's the gender equality? Tell me. Where is the gender equality? You go to any Western court, they will say you that the custody must move on to the mother. Equality now, where's the equality? There was one friend of mine came here. So he says that his uncle is in America, right? I'm going to show you, these don't get bluffed and don't get influenced by these words. They just coin up certain words. You see, the people in the law, they coin certain words for their own convenience. And then they bluff you. You must go with it. You don't understand what's behind the scene. They have got a plan behind this, and you don't understand what's the plan behind it. But because it looks, and everybody talks about it, and it looks very, very pleasant, very, 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 very pleasant and nice, so you're going with it. But you don't understand what's behind it. So this person says to me that his uncle got married, right, moved on to America, took the second wife. The second wife is a little cheeky, so she got irritated for a small thing, and she slapped him. Impulse, he slapped her back. Immediately she went into the police. Without any trial, they imprisoned him for 5 years. Show me the equality. Is there equality? She slapped first, and he slapped. So for that, now he's imprisoned. In prison, not for 1 year, not for 1 day, for 5 years. Just to return that slap on impulse. Now, you look, just scrutinize this one situation. Tell me, in any Western law, in any Western law or judicial system, if the wife has to slap the husband, and the husband has to go to court and complain, lodge a complaint, what they will do? They will laugh him out and throw the case out. Will you ever hear that they will take that wife and put her into prison? So where's the equality? If you talk about equality, then it must be across the board. So don't get bluffed with these words. Why I need to show you these examples? Because people don't understand. They don't understand deen. How are they going to understand? Situation, how are they going to understand? And how are they going to understand that they are being misled? You're listening to this media, you're listening to that radio, you're listening to this information, and after a period of time, your mind is shaped accordingly. What we need to understand that our mind needs to be shaped according to Islam, according to deen. Alimiya Sahib Rahmatullah explains this. He's a great thinker, very, very great thinker. Allah Pak bless him and reward him a million times over. See? He says, education is like a mold, you see. Education is a mold. The innocent person that is put through this mold, right, all the impression of that education is impressed into this mold. Now the mold is coming out as a brick, whatever, it's coming out with all the impressions. Now you see all the porn on that, you see gravity on that, you see all type of evil thing. Now, hey, you see such an evil brick. But the brick says, well, I didn't do these things. These things just came out to me. So this is the effect of education. That education is the mold. You're putting the child into a system. Right? You're putting yourself into that system. and you don't realize that you're going to a system, after a period of time, you begin to think like that, you begin to reason like that. And you don't even realize that you are reasoning incorrectly. You don't even realize that you are moving in a wrong direction, in an opposite direction. You don't even realize it. Because everything is, you've got everything under Islamic ethos, name of Islam. Islamic this, Islamic this, Islamic this. So the name is there. But Islam is the Islam. لا يبقى من الإسلام إلا رسمه لا يبقى من الإسلام إلا اسمه ولا يبقى من القرآن إلا رسمه. There will be a time, hadith says, that nothing will be left of Islam but its name. So that true Islamic ethos, do you find it? You don't find it. That true Islamic spirit, do you find it? No, you're not finding it. Now you've got a person in the kurta, dhobi, all that, and in the middle of town, he can have a nice, good conversation with a woman there, without any scarf, scantily dressed, and they can carry on for a conversation half an hour, not worried about anything. Is that what Islam is calling? Is that Islam? They don't feel that feeling that this is wrong what I'm doing. I was discussing with one friend. So he says, some woman came for some help, you see, whatever. So she was going through some very bad mental condition. So she's explaining that I'm divorced and all that, whatever, right? All right, you're divorced, so what's the problem now? So no, now, my problem is this, that there's another man who lost his wife. So he's a widow, he's a widower, and I'm a widow, right? I'm divorcee, and he's a widower. So he saw me, I was hanging the clothes one day, and he saw me, he took a liking for me. Now he became a little bit close to me, so I didn't stop him completely, because I need to use someone to deliver this thing here, to go and get my groceries, I need someone. So, but I made sure that I don't go too close to him, you know. Both Muslim people, you see. Both Muslim people. I don't get very close to him. So then he made a proposal for marriage, etc. So I was not very interested in marriage, whatever, for whatever reason. But then I spoke to him, we got discussing and all. He likes to come and discuss with me. We both discuss. And by the way, my children, my family, all have abandoned me. They've all chased me out. So they're not in my way, I'm not in their way. Same with the person that is sending this proposal, he's the same. You see, there's a lot of lessons we need to learn here. You see, to live within a family unit, the importance of maintaining of family ties, right? Now they abandon, it's easy to abandon, and then the man is doing what he wants, and she is doing what she wants. Nobody feels that I am within a framework, I need to have some respect, some regard, some consideration. Nobody feels like that. So they have vacuumed their hearts, you know. They have vacuumed their hearts from the consciousness and the awareness of Allah Ta'ala. Their minds and the hearts are totally dead. That consciousness, that awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come out of the system completely. Okay. Now they're sitting and talking. It's a man, he's a stranger, and there's a woman. Absolute strangers. Now I read my namaz and everything. I know my obligations, and I tell him, no, you don't come too close. You know, you sit at a distance and you can talk. So now I need someone to talk because I'm lonely now. He needs some companion, and she needs some company. So whilst we were discussing, this woman says, while we were discussing, so we came to this issue, now we're discussing like this. So the man is telling me, I must make tawbah, make istighfar also, and make istighfar also, you know, whether you're interested in me. Now tawbah also became a thing in words. Tawbah has been translated into a thing in words. So this person that she's counseling, she's consulting, he tells her, all right, Ben, you know what, say for example, Malakul Maud comes now and strikes, are you prepared to go to him in this condition that you are sitting with this man here? So, you know, I'm not prepared for that. Right? Number two, I need to ask you, is the time of death guaranteed? Do you know that you're going to walk out of this room here alive? No. Within this minute, do you have the guarantee of life? No. So then when you don't have the guarantee of life, and on the other hand you are saying that you don't want Malakul Maut to come and take you and arrest you in this condition, then how can you do such a thing? How can you have this type of relationship? So she says, no, I didn't think of it in this manner.
You see. So it's just a play of words, the consciousness, the awareness, the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a calculated effort to just take it out, exterminate it, remove it from the life. So the whole thinking procedure is gone. Like I say, this whole education, this whole system that we are following, it's a calculated effort to remove and expel the God consciousness out of our system. So when that consciousness and that God awareness is out of the system, is there anything preventing you from doing anything? Nothing preventing you. I can take, I can steal, I can look, I can kick up any type of relationship, I can tell anybody anything. No consciousness, no awareness. So there are two things now they are playing here. One is the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one is to regulate the affairs. And above all is the consciousness and the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now that is supreme. That is absolutely supreme. That will motivate you, it will distract you, it will attract you. It will distract you from wrong, it will attract you towards good. But provided that level of consciousness of Allah ta'ala is within your heart, it's within your mind, it's gone, instilled right deep into the crevice of the heart. If you got that, you got everything. You don't have this, you've lost everything. You don't have the consciousness of Allah ta'ala, you don't have anything in life. Absolutely nothing. What stops you then? What prevents you? It's just, then it is the person who's more conniving, who's more crafty, who's more crude. He will win. He knows how to work his things out. If I need to date someone, I know how to work it out. That's all. I need to rob. I need to cheat. I need to know how to work it out. That's all. Just play with the law. Do within the framework of the law. But I can rob this person. I can cheat this person. I can get into fraud. But I know how to get out. So the whole idea is how to get out. In the Bani Israel, there were certain laws in place in the Bani Israel as well. So there was a place, there was a mountain or something, there was a place. If a person was guilty of fornication, right, if they go there, then the person that is guilty, he will be sucked into the earth. They had some system in the Bani Israel, right? So they had to climb a mountain, whatever it is. And if anybody is speaking a lie, then immediately he's sucked into the earth. Now, a man was suspecting his wife that she has got some type of extramarital affair with someone. You see, now again, this extramarital affair, this is now a word that the West has coined. Why it's coined this word? We didn't ask ourselves why it's coined the word. Why it's coined the word? It's coined the word to remove the stench of zina. You know? See, fornication. You say adultery, he's an adulteress, she's an adulteress, or he's an adulterer. It sounds very, very crude. So, you know, extramarital affair. So it doesn't sound so bad. So one Jamaat came from Canada. So they say, you know, they're very sophisticated, they're very progressive. They've got street engineers. I say, street engineer, what's that? What are they working with now? I got a shock to a street engineer. No, the person who sweeps the street, they call him a street engineer. It's just play of words. Really, it's play of words. Allah Ta'ala has la'nat on these people here. These people that are playing with the sharia, with the law and the system of Allah Ta'ala. I see with my heart that Allah Ta'ala has la'nat on them. It's not a joke. What is deen? Deen is the plan of Allah Ta'ala. And you're playing around with words like this. You're doing haram and you're giving it a cover that it's looking very attractive. Why won't that person be deserving of the la'nat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? The whole moral fabric of society, you are killing the thing. And still you don't feel anything about it. You know, they say Shaitan is out for a picnic, you see. Picnic, and he's enjoying himself, he's cheering and enjoying and picnicking and braying and everything, you know. And then someone saw him in that state, they asked him, but you of all people and you're picnicking, you're supposed to be a very busy person, you know. He says, no, I got enough agents on the road. They're doing my work. I got enough people. I got the television, I got the video, I got the cell phone. I got so many people doing it. They are fighting with each other with my business. In my business, they are fighting with each other. So why do I need to go and fight with them? I can relax now. They can cool off. You see, there's so many people doing the work. Okay. So you see this consciousness, this awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this woman doesn't have it. So no, tawbah is just like a procedure. As Mufti Sahib rahmatullah is explaining, that he went for one tabligh program and he spoke, and then he asked where's the masjid. It was a masturat program, so he had to deliver the talk, and one child guided him to the masjid. After the namaz was over, so the people of the house, someone complained about the child. So no, this child, he's always asking for money. So Hazrat asked him, you know, caution him. So Hazrat asked the child, told the child, do you ask money? He said, yeah. He said, achi aadat nahi. He said, toba hai, main kabhi nahi karunga aainda. Toba, I'll never do this in future. You know? He held his ears, he said, toba, I won't do this in future. And after 1 minute, he nudged his father's shoulder and said, Abba, now give me that. I made toba, so just give me that 1 rand now. See, now the tawbah has just become a procedure. You know, in all these institutions, the thing is, it's a procedure to halalize, to make everything halal. Just a procedure, follow a procedure and make things halal. So the very gist and the essence and the root, the soul of Islam is being killed. When you halalize, what are you doing? That very essence, the spirit of Islam is being killed. So that's why this hadith is saying, لَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ إِسْمُهُ وَلَا يَبْقَى مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا رَسْمُهُ. And it is just the wording of the Quran study that is left. Nobody is going inside the wording of the Quran. Nobody is taking the time to ponder, reflect. What is the message of Allah? He's talking of Qiyamah. So what he wants from us? I will hear the Qiyamah. Wah, wah, Allah, Allah, Allah. MashaAllah. What a beautiful recitation. What are you listening to? إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. When the earth will be shaken to its depths. Now that must shake you up. That the whole earth now is shaken to its depths. Mera hal kya hoga, Allah Ta'ala, mera ashar kya hoga us din ko. You must be shaken when you're reciting that, when you're listening to that. But now, that whole Quran Sharif is recited. To see now that Qari Sahib can recite the whole Izazul Zila in one breath, with a beautiful tone. Now that's the kamal of that kamal of the recitation. Whereas the important, more important thing with the recitation, can that recitation shake your mind? Can it shake your head? Can it shake your liver? Can it shake you up? That's what it's supposed to be doing. So the Quran is just now in wording, nothing else. And Islam, the Quran is just in the writing. And Islam is just in the wording. So where's the spirit gone to? Where's the soul of Islam gone to? So this woman is also saying, now the person that is interested, he says, oh, just make tawbah, make istikhara, maybe the istikhara comes right, and we can make nikah to each other. In his heart, he knows what he's doing is right, but the procedure, tawbah is just a procedure, you can talk and joke and all that. But when this friend just gave this woman one jolt, you know, he says, but are you sure about death? No, I'm not sure about it. Can death come and take you now? He said, yes, it can come. Would you like to die in this condition that you're talking with this man here? Though you're not doing anything according to you, not that it is not haram, it's haram, but you're not doing anything. But do you like death to come to you in this state? No. So you've got it at heart. You see, this whole fabric of Islam, fabric of humility, the fabric of shame is being killed. There's no shame at all. Now, I was going to one program, so I see one registration. The registration is reading sexy. Now I'm asking the driver, or we didn't see who's driving, man or woman who's driving. I'm asking the driver, this person, whoever is driving, he or she may have children. If they don't have children, they may have brothers, sisters. If they don't have that also, they may have parents. Or they may have relatives, immediate or extended. Do they have no consciousness now that my son, my child, my mother, my father, my uncle is going to look at this registration? Do they don't have that conscious as well? So it's a calculated effort to remove, to expel, to dispel this whole shame, everything out of the system. Do as you please. What you want to do, you do it. Dress as you please. Behave as you please. Like I say now, a person wearing a kurta, and right in the middle of town for him to have a casual discussion with the woman for half an hour, no problem. And the woman doesn't have to be properly dressed. But they don't feel anything about each other. No. And they'll use Islamic words, Jazakallah, Akhi, Jazakallah, Salaamu Alaikum, Salaam. All Islamic ethos and the way they would give the accent and all that, they say, MashaAllah, which university are they coming from? But where's the Islam in this? Where's the Islam? Akhi, you got all that Akhi and Ukhti and all that. But where is the Islam? There's no Islam in this. They're bluffing each other. Clearly, they're not doing anything but bluffing each other. So the greater thing, the Quran Sharif is complaining to us, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Don't you reflect on the contents of the Quran Sharif. Don't you reflect on the contents of the Quran Sharif. So we are explaining this as the Subayr, his incident. So he is talking of things of a controversial nature, of a thing that is above his intelligence, above his reasoning. Right? It's not at the level of the average Muslim, it's above his level. So it's going to create a controversy, definitely it's going to create a controversy in the ranks of the common people. And unfortunately, we like to go into this controversy. Yeah. He was the latest now. What came in the majlis now? What came here? So by what's compelling you to go into a controversy? You like controversy in your deen. Do you like that? Do you like now your deen to be demonized? Do you like that? People speak less low of your deen or the people of deen. Do you like that? Then why do you go into that controversy? Yes, you feel that this is not right, then stay away. But you like to see people lowering your deen, belittling your deen. Do you like to see these things? Then why do you go enter into this type of conversation? Eventually you come out of the conversation with your respect being lost for deen, for deeny people. You want to know, go and find out separately, but remain there. So Imam Ghazali Sahib Rahmatullah says, you need to look at these people. See, these people who thought. He says, for the common person, average Muslim, business class, go and talk business. Can I get sugar cheaper? And how can I sell it better? Do that type of talk. Don't get into deeny conversations. When he says deeny conversation, don't discuss masail. Just now, I just went off the phone now, just now. So, a person is telling me, I divorced 3 times, alright. So, I told him, you divorced 3 times. He's a professional person, not ordinary person. I don't want to tell you his profession. But anyway, he says, I've divorced, I wish you 3 divorces, now what? So, 3 is valid now. So, he's asking, what about my demeanor, what about my morale, what about my psychology now? You see how he's thinking, how he's reasoning. So I had to tell him that these are 2 separate issues. One is the ruling, you come to me for a ruling. You come to a doctor for a ruling that this patient, is he alive or is made to live? They put him into that life support, whatever. Is he being made to live or he's alive really? So the doctor will say, he's dead. So now you can't tell the doctor, now what about my demeanor and what about my morale? And what about my psychology? Right? So psychology karte raho. Ye toh mar gaya, bhai. Carry on with the psychology. This man is dead. Finish. Kalas. So if you come to an alim, you come with that frame of mind. What is it? Halal or haram? Kalas. He doesn't make the law. He shows the law. That's the big mistake that we make. We feel that the alim is making the law. He doesn't make the law. He shows you that this is the word of Allah Ta'ala. The doctor doesn't kill the patient. He shows you that this patient, according to my understanding, my learning, he's dead. Finish. Say, why are you killing him? My demeanor, my respect, and my what psychology. Bhai, ye toh mar gaya, khatam ho gaya. Psychology, aap ab se qiyamat tak karte rahoge. Isko zinda nahi kar sakte. You discuss that and keep on discussing. You can't reverse that condition. He's dead, kalas. Out of the system. That is why it's very important for ulama-i kiram as well nowadays to at least get the people thinking right. It's an intellectual apostasy that is being run, that is being played in the media, in the radio, everywhere. It's an intellectual apostasy. You're going into irtidad, but intellectually. You may not be saying Rama, Sita and all that, right? You may not be saying cross and believing in the cross and all that. Right? You may not be doing that. But your mind is corrupt, is perverted already through that education that you are taking. You know, I was looking at one protocol of the English dated some 100 years ago, that how must we work and penetrate into these communities, especially in India, the Indian Muslim, because they are very staunch, very committed. No. The one way he says, he's talking to a missionary group, this person here, professor, he's talking to a missionary group, and how must we work with them? He's a Christian, and the whole batch, whole class of missionaries are being dispatched. The tashkir is being made to work in India, how to get them. He said, no, don't worry about, we don't want you to Christianize them. We don't want you to Christianize them. Yes, what we want is to take them out of Islam. You see that? You see the thinking. We don't want you to Christianize them, we want you to take them out of Islam. So the way, the easy way and the most effective way, this person is carrying on, the most effective way to take them out of Islam is through education, because everybody has to go through education. Everybody has to go through education. So he will learn the Darwin's law, right? He will learn these theories, all these things here. And now for the rest of time, he'll think, hey, you know, Darwin's theory, you know, how it happened, what happened. Will it confuse him or not? Will it complicate him or not? It will take a child sometimes 15 years, 20 years to reel out of it. I know of doctors, I'm not sad to say it. I know of doctors, after 15, 20 years of practice, say, hey, Mona, but this Darwin thing, is it real? Namazi, everything. His basic beliefs are not right. Understand? So the kamal, the achievement for this age is to get these people thinking right at least. If you can't get anything else, to get them thinking right. There was this Dioban Jalsa, you know. And in those, that zamana, the Jalsa was not like our zamana. Now we got Jalsa, three quarter of it is Nazams and all that, and trying to impress, right? In that zamana, when they used to have Jalsa, as the Sheikh Hamdai writes, they used to call all the Ahlullah, greatest, you know, giants of Ahlullah, but Ahladil, you know, used to call all of them. They'll have some simple talks also, but they used to have all these people here. So when they've got all these people here collected in that gathering, thousands of people, now they have an impact on the hearts of the audience. They channel them into the right direction, make them think correctly. See, the heart affects the heart. And they call them to these jalsa so that the whole public, they may be able to think in the right cause, in the right direction. The iman is right, the aqidah is right, the belief is right. Otherwise, the whole ilm, knowledge, all that becomes a plaything. Now look at this type of things, this type of literature that is flying around, media that is flying. It becomes a talk of the town. It becomes a controversial issue. It becomes an entertainment. Forget the rest, it becomes an entertainment. And what is the latest now? It becomes an entertainment. That's why Imam Ghazali says, I'd rather go and talk about business and all that. You won't belittle your deen. Otherwise, you're going to talk about these things, then you're going to belittle your deen. If you are really sincere, you want to know, go and ask at a different forum in a respectable manner and carry on. Forget the topic after that. But now you make your deen a thing of entertainment. لَا تَتَّخِذُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَكُمْ غُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا. Don't befriend such people who have made deen an entertainment and sports. Do you see the similarity? لَا تَتَّخِذُ الَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا دِينَكُمْ غُزُوًا وَلَعِبًا. Have made deen a thing of entertainment and sports. Don't befriend such people. Now you're living with them. You are absorbed in their education, in their media, in their lifestyle. Eventually, now that thing begins to rub off against you. You begin to behave and you don't even realize that you're behaving like this. So Imam Ghazali says this. You rather discuss these type of things. And that you talk about it at a different forum, respectably, end it up, end of the story. And I explained to you what Maulana Ali Mia Sahib Rahmatullah says. That education, this whole, it's either the education directly that is impacting upon you, or the peer, your peer pressure, understand? Because the peer pressure, those friends of yours, those that community, is also going through that same system. When they're going through the same system, if you are not impressed, they will impress you. Yeah, no education. What's going to happen to your daughter? Why, she's not educated, and if she's divorced, what happens to her? You must get, hey, now it gets into your mind, shock, hey. If she's divorced, not soon, I must make her independent. So she's going up on that pedestal that this woman must be prepared for that day. Prepared for the day when she's separated. Now how she's going to lead her life? A woman was trained originally. In which way was she trained? She was trained like this, make that home. Your janaza must come out of this home. So come what may, she makes it home. The thin and the thick of life, she goes through it. She's coming from a wealthy royal family. But if she's put through the crunch, she's going through it. Difficult. No, there's no food. It's all right. We'll eat bhaji. We'll eat herbs and all that. We'll eat all these things and we'll make the life move. But now you see the whole thinking, the thought process is all gone upside down. It's gone upside down. Now these women are thinking like this. And they feel still that we are true Muslims. Can you call them true Muslims? The whole thinking has gone upside down. You see that mold, when Mawla Ali Miyah is speaking about the mold, you've gone through that mold, definitely it's going to impress you. He said, no, I went with good intentions. Yes, that mold, when that mortar went into that mold, it went with good intentions, right? It was innocent. There was any guna on that mortar. No guna, no blemish, no stain. But when you went through that mold, was it impressed or not? It must be impressed. So definitely if you're going through it, you must be impressed. You can't say that impression is not going to be in your mind. You can't say that. You're bluffing yourself. You're deceiving yourself. So this incident of Subayr, we're talking of Subayr, and we're just branching off, you know. You see Islamic ethos, Islamic values. So we need to look at these Sahaba Kiram, but we need to look at them constructively, positively. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala, his daughter is widowed, lost her husband. Right, now see positive. See a Sahabi now. One is what the community, the pressure that you got. No one is these people here. His daughter is divorced. You're looking at things positively. And you're looking at exactly what the Sahaba Ikram are doing. You're not just reading it as a story and end. No. You're looking positively, you're looking constructively. What was the theme? What was their thought that was running in their minds? See? Community, and they will apply the pressure. But what do I do? What do I do? How do I conduct myself? His wife, his daughter is widowed. Husband passed away. Goes to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and my daughter is widowed. And I propose her to you in marriage. Do you see? Not for the least of what the community will say. Community, say, let them say what they need to say. We are the slaves of Allah Ta'ala, the slaves of Islam here. Not the slaves of the community. The community mustn't shape our minds. See? Why must they impress upon us? They may say what they want to say. See? Do you see their lives? The Shaykh Al-Hind Rahmatullah Alayhi, he got his daughter married. I just want to show you some things of these Sahaba Ikram, of these people that took the Sahaba Ikram's thought. So his daughter is already, they already confirmed, right? Yesterday they confirmed, today is Jummah. So after the Jummah, no arrangements made at home, nothing. No arrangements made at home. After the Jummah, I said, Bayo, Bedjao, sit down. I got one announcement to make. My daughter is proposed to this person. I'm going to make the nikah now. No announcement, no cards, no nothing going on through the board, nothing. I'm going to make the nikah now. And that no shouts, he's not prepared. He's not prepared. Sit down, make the nikah, finish, end of the story. Do you see their thought? Do you see their reasoning? Do you see their way? So because we distance ourselves from that way, this foreign, alien influence has impacted upon us. And we can't seem to get our minds out of it. It's gone so deep into the system, now we'll go by this. Umar radiallahu anhu, and he's gone and he approached Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu remained silent. Naha, nana. Are bhai, kuch to kaho. Say something. I'm saying, what is going through Umar's mind? Abu Bakr is absolutely silent. Nothing. No yes, no yes, no no. Nothing. The hadith is in Bukhari Sharif. It's not an unauthentic hadith. It's a reliable hadith. Abu Bakr is absolutely silent. And Umar radiallahu anhu is feeling ghabrat now. Because the man is not saying yes, not saying no, nothing is saying. Anyway, he goes to the next person that he can go to is Usman. Abu Bakr, Umar, then Usman. Is the daughter of Abu Umar. Now the next person he can go to is Usman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu. Usman al-Ghani, I need to get my daughter married to you. So Usman al-Ghani says, let me think about it. He thought about it for some time. He says, I thought about it carefully. I don't need to get married. Anyway, shortly after that, Rasulullah had sent a proposal, the nikah was done. After the nikah was done, now Abu Bakr radiallahu contacts Hazrat Umar radiallahu. Says, oh Umar, you know that day, you had proposed your daughter for me, you know, and I had remained absolutely silent. He says, yes, I felt very hurt about it. No, yes, no. Where Usman had turned the proposal down, I felt hurt about it, but it was an answer, it was finished, end of the story. Well, when I asked you, no, yes, no, no, kuch to kaho, I felt very affected about it, yes. You see, he's cleaning the heart. That is the thought, that is the theme of the Sahaba Kiram, he's cleaning the heart. There's nothing, no reservation, no hesitation in the heart. The heart is absolutely clear, absolutely clean. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, see what? Rasulullah Pakistan has discussed this with me in private. Right? And he discussed his intention to propose for Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu anha. But he hadn't confirmed, but he had an intention to propose, though it was unconfirmed. Now this Rasulullah Pakistan had discussed with me in private. He hadn't confirmed that he is going to send the proposal, but he was discussing this with me. Right? Now, if I say you that I'm interested, then I'm going against the desire of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallam desires to send a proposal, and I am sending a proposal against the proposal of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it won't be right. How can there be any blessing for me in that? To the contrary, if Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not marry Hazrat Hafsa, right, he was just deliberating, he did not marry, then I would have sent the proposal. But I could have not mentioned this to you, that I'm interested. How could I mention this to you? Do you see the situation that I was in? Umar radiallahu anhu's mind was cleared out. See how the Sahaba Ikram conducted themselves. Mind is cleared. Heart is clear. There is no obstruction in the mind for him now. Mind is clear, right? He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. But he had a definite reason for that. You see how the cleanliness of the heart, how it works. We are talking of the Subayr, and I'm speaking about Umar radiallahu anhu today, and 2-3 incidents about Umar radiallahu anhu. So Umar radiallahu anhu called for this Subayr. He came to Medina Munawwara. The person that brought him, he instructed him, you look after this person. If this person escapes, watch out. You see, administration is a different thing. Comes in. Umar radiallahu anhu asked for a freshly broken date branch. You know the date branch, see that how sharp the thing is with the spice and all, how sharp it is. And he gives it to him until it's black and blue, bleeding right through, right? Whole from the head to the toe is bleeding one way. Sends him away. No speaking is done yet. Oh, you were the person who was doing all this, huh? Why were you doing it? What joy you were getting out of this? What was the enjoyment that you were getting out of this? What was the thrill that you were getting out of this? Nothing. Giving to him, racking nicely, properly, nice and solid. Oh, imagine the khajur tree and the branch. You may just go past it. Just go and strike your hand on it and see what happens. He's giving it to him. Person went out. His wounds are all healed up. He's feeling nice. Called him again. Gave it to him again, solid. One way. Now this is an authentic hadith. It's not a hadith that is just there. It's an authentic hadith. He's giving it to him. He gave it to him so much until this person said, Amirul Mu'min, if you want to kill me, then kill me in a dignified way. Kill me. And if it is that you want to expel these evil, controversial thoughts that were in my mind, then Alhamdulillah, with the fazl of Allah, all is gone. Everything is expelled from my mind. So Umar now felt comfortable. He said, alright, now you go. But he gave instruction to Musa Ashari, Abu Musa Ashari, that this person mustn't associate with anybody, and nobody must be associating with him. He mustn't associate, he mustn't mix up with anybody, and nobody must mix up with him. Okay. Now, look at this, just look at this incident here, look at it in isolation. Right. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu wished, he could have called him and said, what are your doubts? What are the controversies? Let's, in an intellectual manner, let's discuss the merits of it, you know, like how people do it now. You know, have a discussion, have a conference, and let's discuss this whole matter. Like everything can't be sorted out with discussions and conferences. Can't be. Right? Now, there are so much of conference on the law that as though the criminal is the winner in this country. Don't you see how much of a big conference they have and how much of magajmari they make on the criminal, that the criminal becomes the winner. Today, he's killed your brother. I'm talking of a real incident. He can kill your brother. You can take him out of the business. Tomorrow, you can go to whichever union or CCMA and he's reinstated in your own business. Your brother's murderer, he can come and be reinstated in your own business just after one day. See, they make what magajmari of your brains that you can't think correctly. You can't reason any longer correctly. And I tell you that every situation is not a situation of reasoning. Person comes to rob and he comes to hold you up, you know. At that time, you don't go and reason with the person. You don't go and reason with him. It's not a time for discussion. Although one person did it and he came out safe, you know. They came to rob him, you see. My one friend in Johannesburg, they came to rob him. So they got the loot, whatever, they were going out. So they had the finger on the trigger. So my friend told him, you know what? But you took so much. You can come a little later, you'll still get more again. Now you got one loot and you went away. And you'll shoot me, you won't get anything in future. What do you do? If you go after a month, 2 months, you can come again. Take another share again. Anyway, it worked out for him. Allah Ta'ala ko bachala tha. And he got saved. Right? But what I'm telling you is that every situation is not a situation of discussion. Some situations you need to deal with it in this way. Obviously, you're living in a country, you don't need to get implicated. Right? You're living in a country, you don't get implicated. But there are certain situations where you need to be firm. Where you need to use your authority. The school is starting at 7:45. The son says, today I don't need to go to school, daddy. But we can discuss that after school, now you go to school. It's only 15 minutes, 10 minutes it will take me to take you to school. Otherwise you'll be late. No. You can't discuss this. We'll discuss this. It's not negotiable now. After school we can negotiate. But you, now you go to school. Do you see? Every situation is not a situation for negotiating. Now this applies to all levels of life. A domestic life as well. Many things in the domestic life is not subject to negotiations. Do it and don't do it. That's how you need to be. That's how that home runs. Some things will appeal to that wife, some things will not appeal to her. But you need to tell her that I have been given a supreme position over you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I know what's better for you in the long term. You don't know what's better for you. So you need to impress upon her. You don't need to negotiate and discuss everything. So no, all the women can do this in the world and only you, I can't do it. All the women can do it, only I can't do it because you belong to Spring or Beat, therefore. See, women, what kachumar they make out of deen is another story. Because you come from Spring or Beat, therefore, I can't do it. Sometimes you don't know whether to laugh with what this woman say or whether to cry with what they say. I related the second incident. Now, the third incident. How many minutes left for namaz? Okay? 2 minutes. Time is up now. Can't relate. It's another incident of Umar radiallahu anhu. But what I'm trying to get at today is to get the mind right. If the mind is not right, see, the mind, one is the mind, and then the education. The education is now the vehicle. So the mind is right, then the vehicle will move correctly. It will have the right direction, it will move to the goal. But if the mind is not right, as good as the vehicle is, it can't reach. It will go off course completely. Because the mind is not right. Now you hear a masla on zakat, for example, right? You hear a masla on zakat. That amount of money needs to be in your possession for an entire lunar year, and then you will be subject and you will be eligible to pay zakat, right? Everybody knows that masla. So now I know, came to the end of the year, I got 1 million rand, right? But I'm thinking, 1 million rand to give out in zakat. I've got 40 mils and 1 mil to give out in zakat. How can I do such a thing? So, now let's work out a way. Let's work out a way how I can dodge this zakat. Na'uzubillah. Na'uzubillah. How can I dodge this zakat? Now this, you are talking about these things. You know, I was talking intellectual apostasy. This is it. How I can escape this thing here. So, the simple thing, what I'll do? I'll drown myself in so much of doubt or so much of debt, right? When I'm plunged and drowned in debt, then I won't be subject to paying zakat. I won't be eligible to pay zakat because I'm in debts now. I've got 50 million and I'm indebted for 40 million. I'm indebted for 50 million. I'm in debts for 50 million. So my liabilities are greater than my assets. Then how can I pay zakat? Do you see? It's a game that is being played. And unfortunately, we are teaching people these type of games. The reason why we are teaching them this type of game, or why people are going in this direction, is because there's an imbalance. We're teaching them, we're giving them the vehicle, and we're not teaching them the level of taqwa, righteousness. If he's got the vehicle of education, he needs to have also the road of taqwa and righteousness. Now the thing will move correctly. But he's got the vehicle of education. He doesn't have the road of taqwa, righteousness, the consciousness. You know, at the beginning I spoke about the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, the awareness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So definitely he'll go off the track. So the education is now being used as a vehicle to go off the road. Before, at least he had some consciousness and awareness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Zakat, I must pay, finish. Though he found it difficult, but he must pay it. Now he found a road how to escape the whole thing. It becomes again like the incident of the Bani Israel. Right? They knew now that day fishing is haram. But now how to legalize it? How to legitimize it? How to legitimize it? And that is why sometimes this legitimizing is even worse than haram. See, Allah Pak speaks about them. That kunu qiradatan khasi'in, become monkeys and apes. Monkeys and swines become. Why? Legitimizing. You're going against the whole system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala's system, Allah ta'ala's plan, you're going against the plan. When you're going against the plan, you're actually breaking the law. You're actually making a kachumar of the law, making a joke of the law. So can you see the seriousness, the serious repercussion that come afterwards? Allah ta'ala tawfiq nasib.